Imagine the following scenario. Beis Din is sitting to be Mekabel Eidos HaChodesh. Two witnesses show up and say, we saw the new moon on the eve of before the 30th, after the 29th. And Beis Din is prepared to say, Mekudosh HaChodesh. But before they do so, two young men show up, whose bar mitzvah happens to be that Rosh Chodesh. They're 12 years, 353 days, or something like that. And they say, it's not possible that you could have seen the new moon when you say you saw it, because you were with us in Hell Caverns, buried deep underground, where you can't see anything the entire day and night. So what is Beis Din to do? Well, what would you say? Do you believe these young men? Daniel?
Is this the liar's paradox?
It might be. I don't know it as such, but what is the liar's paradox?
If the right, they're wrong, and if they're wrong, they're right. Meaning,
yeah, fine. But so then what are you saying? That we should accept these Eidim? Then it's Rosh Chodesh.
Yes, even though they
saw the Eidim, since they saw the Eidim, no, but once based on the Chodesh, it's the Chodesh from the beginning of the day.
Oh.
Right, and Rosh Hashanah, they didn't do Malacha on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, on the 30th day of Elul, because if Beis Din was Mekadosh the Chodesh later in the day, it would be Chilul Yotov. Shemit, did you wish to comment on this?
Yes, it's a paradox. I don't really have anything to say, but
it's an endless loop, right? Yeah. Because if you say, fine, we won't believe them, so now it's Rosh Chodesh. Now we do believe them, so neither Rosh Chodesh. It's not Rosh Chodesh, now we don't believe them. Right? It goes on and on, back and forth. There's no particular decision. Well, here again, if we believe these two Eidim, then they can't testify because it's not Rosh Chodesh yet, and they're not Gedolim. But if we say, okay, we won't believe them, we'll believe the other Eidim that it is Rosh Chodesh, then these Ketanim are now Gedolim, and we should believe them when they say Yimon HaYusim. Now, there happens to be, this is a question that I've lived with for decades, not really caring that much aside to solve the problem. It just has occurred to me in the moment, but not relevant to our case, that there's actually a simple solution case that I don't know how you would do so, but you might wind up with a similar kind of a paradox. So, be that as it may, whether or not we think that the Rosh Chodesh problem is a problem, we do have, in my opinion, at least at first glance, such a problem in our sugya, in our tosfos. Now, as with all interesting sugyos, it's always interesting to see how you can forget how the whole discussion started. But there is a textual basis, not for the conceptual work, but for how this whole question got off the ground. In other words, if you're wondering what's the connection between the two halves of the Tosfos, the second half of the Tosfos, I singled out the first part because that's the part that interests me, but some of you looked at the second part, and the second part was very straightforward. What was the issue with the second part of Tosfos? Ryan?
You claim that it's up in the air whether or not one's getting a get from...
No, that's not what you're not being precise. Formulate precisely, please. Daniel? You say it's not beyond the Ligusha. And what do you mean? It is beyond the Grusha. She just needs to say, Moyes Halai. So if you say that Moyes Halai doesn't work, like Rashi or Vedantan, fine. But what if it does work, like the Rambam, and like others apparently thought? So he gives an answer. He re-explains what the term means, beyond the Grusha. What's the question of the first half of the process? In short, which prompts the, because you could easily forget what, to understand the Tosfos, at least it helps to understand what the connection to the Gemara is. It doesn't help with the underlying stuff, but what's bothering Tosfos, right?
Before you ask whether she
can
get again, who's she again?
Correct. Tosfos' kasha is, you make it sound like in order to fulfill the Tanai, she needs a get. And it's not in her control. The second half of the Tosfos is, but it is in her control, or it's not. The first half of the Tosfos is, why does she need a get? What do you mean, why does she need a get? She's married to this guy. Well, the answer is, apparently, she's not married to this guy. Now, in a nutshell, if I were to describe, the reason why I gave the analogy to the Rosh Chodesh problem was for the following reason. If Tosfos suggests that she doesn't require a get, why? No. It, the problem is, in order for the get to be chal, she has to marry the second guy. She has to marry. Part of what's difficult to read in Rishonim here is they don't always, not all of them give great clarity what they mean by Rishon Sheni. Yes, you're smiling because you struggled with this. It would have been nice if they had had a little Rishon convention to talk about what will the nomenclature be in analyzing the sugya, but unfortunately they did not. So one is left slightly off balance having to consider all the possibilities. But my initial approach to the problem, which I believe is not what the Rishonim are assuming, but I think understanding this is crucial for even understanding the Rambam, who takes a totally different approach. And so, did you see the Rambam? Well, did you see the Magen Mishnah? Anybody see the Magen Mishnah? Are you buying it?
No.
Not the slightest chance. It's an answer that solves the problem. It is totally unbelievable. It's not unbelievable. It's so, I can't believe I'm saying this, pedestrian. If I say, oh, because the Rambam understood that the Tanai was something different than it was. Which, by the way, doesn't explain how he reads the Gemara. That's a separate question. But we'll put that aside for the moment. But I think that the understanding the answer to my question probably has something to do with understanding the Rambam as well, which is a somewhat radical idea. But in the meantime, let me present the problem. Problem is the following. Tosfos says, if she ever marries the second guy, the kiddushin to the first, no, the ploni. The ploni who the original husband spelled out. Right, we're going to use names. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Reuven's her original husband. Shimon is the guy she married. Levi is the guy she was supposed to marry according to the Tanai of the get. What?
Reuven, Shimon, and ploni.
Lobbying. Fine. Reuven, Shimon, and
ploni.
Reuven, Shimon, and ploni. Yes, there we go. Fine. Reuven, Shimon, and ploni. So, if she marries Shimon, she has to marry Levi. Ploni. Levi. Sorry, done. She has to marry Levi.
Ploni is Lot.
What's that?
Ploni is
Levi. Excellent. Ploni. So she's got to marry Ploni in order for the...
Okay.
She's got to marry Levi in order for the guest from Reuven to be chal. Wait, so the way most Rishonim understand is that if she would eventually marry Levi, it wouldn't be a problem that she marries Shimon in between. The problem, as the Gemara says, is we force her to get divorced from Shimon because it's not, we don't allow because left to her own devices, there is no guarantee that she will actually, A, get divorced from Shimon without us intervening, you know, telling her she can't live with him. B, as the Rashba points out, the Tosfos doesn't want to go down that road, no guarantees that maybe we'll marry him. Okay? So, but let's put that aside for a moment. Tosfos says, hey, wait, why can't she just go marry Levi without bothering to get a gift from Shimon? You know why that should work? Because if she never married Levi, then it turned out she won't be divorced, in which case she can never have married Shimon because she'll be an Eishes Ish still from Reuven. And if that's the case, so then Tosfos says that the Kiddushin of Shimon cannot be Chal until she marries Levi. And thus, if she just goes and marries Levi now, well, that's not a problem. She'll marry Levi without getting a get from Shimon. And then whatever happens, happens. So what's wrong with that? So there's an obvious question that's wrong with that, but Tosis doesn't seem to think that. And the Marsha is bothered by this. What's the obvious problem with Tosis's suggestion? No, because if she, as long as she's mikudesh to Levi, kedusha she will pay the cost. But
with if she gets divorced from the girl and dies,
then
she was married to Levi, and she's now married to
Levi. If she once she marries Levi, and should Levi happen to die, it will turn out the mafreya, the tanai was fulfilled. And it will turn out that Shimon's kedushin or kedushin, which means then that Levi could not marry her. But if Levi could not marry her, then Levi wasn't married to her, then Shimon's kedushin were in chal. Good, no?
Why? Ending of
Levi's
marriage in order to start the next cycle?
You don't, actually. You don't. You're correct. As soon as she's married to Levi, it turns out that Shimon's marriage with Yushim with Tosin. But she's married to Shimon, so it would seem. There's the Mafreya of the Kiddushin and Tosin, and she never got a gift from Shimon. In which case, Levi's Kiddushin and Chal. In which case, Shimon's Kiddushin weren't Chal because the tonight wasn't fulfilled. In which case, she is married to Levi. In which case, once she's married the lady, the tanai is fulfilled. So now, Shimon's kiddushin mafreya. And if any of you wind up in the funny farm, you'll know why. Did anybody pick up on this? This is what's making me crazy. But you see, if Shimon gives her a debt, and then she marries Levi to fulfill the tanai, as the Gemara suggests, right, which is what should happen, then it will turn out that Tanai was fulfilled. It will turn out that in the past she was married to Shimon and got divorced from Shimon and actually married Levi. Okay, goes with it. And the only downside to her, of course, is that if Levi dies and divorces her, unfortunately she can't marry Shimon. Why? Yes, the Rebbe says in the Hasagos, right, it's Masu Kushasa. So what's puzzling, so there are two puzzles in the sugya. Puzzle number one is, why does Tosos and the Rashba as well, why do they think that, well, in theory, she could marry Levi to fulfill the tanai? Because if, even without a get, aren't you going to wind up in this either the endless cycle or something else? I'll say the endless cycle. And number two, why does the Rambam say that if she marries somebody else, she has to get divorced and the children are mamzerim? Why doesn't he say she has to get divorced and then she should go marry Levi to save her children from mamzerim? That's the question. Yeah. That's the Rebbe's question. In other words, the Rambam said, let's read the Rambam later. Read the Rambam. So it's a batal haget. What does batal haget mean? The first get is no good. She has to leave the second guy. The children he has from Shimon are mamzerim. And by the way, she needs a get from Shimon. But that, obviously that get is for what purposes? As I think the Magen Mishka says, the Lecha Mishka says, why? Jimmy? Yep. In general, we have this preference when a woman gets married in such a fashion where it looks like she might have gotten married to a person, even though we know off the halacha that she actually didn't. So generally, very often they require get in those circumstances. So the classic case that we saw earlier in Islam was a woman who thinks her husband has died because an Eidah had come and says he's dead, and then the husband comes back. And the Mishnah that we read in this, when we did the Sugya of Akira stuff in Atar, Kafkas Kedushin, was Teitse Mizeh Mizeh, Spricha Get Mizeh Mizeh. So we understand, why is it that she requires a get from the first husband? The answer is because it's her husband. Why does she require a get from the second husband, who's not her husband? So in Mekadisha, the first husband was alive. The answer is because it looked like a Kedushin, so the Ham required the Rabban to get. So that's what the Rambam says here. So there are two problems with the Rambam. There are two big problems with the Rambam. What are the two problems with the Rambam? Right?
Why is the get more bachanel than also
before? I'm sorry?
Why is the get more bachanel than also before?
Well, it was only way more than it was before.
Until she married the Acher, the get was also
Okay, so what you're saying is, why Manishtana, this tribe, from any other tribe? Right, we learned, this was, by the way, an Almanas. This is an Almanas. We learned that according to the Rambam, if a man gives his wife a get, this should have been Perek, this was in Perek Zion, Hilchas Gerushin. The Rambam says, if a man gives his wife a get, not lichashitit nimasayimzos, but not almanashitit nimasayimzos. So the Rambam said that she's not supposed to marry, but if she does, if the tnai is fulfilled, so all is good. She's kisnei b'kayim etzanah. So why not say the same thing here? Why does the Rambam say that the children are mamzerim? Even better. Once the tanai is fulfilled, not only was the Mesidis Haget Mafreya, so was the Kalos Haget Mafreya. Right? What we worked out in that sugya, this was on the Bechina yesterday, is that when you say Almanash Tetni Nimasayim Zuz, then not only is the Mesidis Haget Mafreya, but the Kalos Haget is Mafreya, which means even if the get is destroyed, then it's perfect, then the get is destroyed. The husband can't change any tanai or anything about it. Yes. That's an amanas. In an intimasayimzos, where according to the Rambam, as we explained, that the Nisinas Haget is when he gives the get, but the Chalos Haget is not until the Kiyam HaTanai. So the Chachina, she's not supposed to get married in between, but if she did, and she's supposed to try, then it's okay. And then the Rambam says, if it's Lichashit Nisinasayimzos, HaRezagiteh, so then, not only is the Nisina, and in the middle case, the Rambam says, he can change the conditions of the get, or be mevatel the get, mevatel the tnai, or mevatel the get. But if he, and but the get has to be extant. But as we explained, it doesn't have to be in her rishus. As long as the get is extant, even if it's in the rishus harabin, it's not in her rishus. Then the sinas haget took place when he gave it halachically, and the chalos haget is dependent upon when the kiyam hatzanai. So as long as the get is still extant when the tnai is extant, it's good. But the actual shah for which is no longer issues with shahs and sinas haget once it's fulfilled in the end. But the third case, as the Rambam says, that even the sinas haget is not until the tanai is fulfilled, and that's why it's not enough that the get be extant, be in existence, when the tanai is fulfilled, but it has to be in her rishus. So if it's in the rishus harabim at the time, no good. If it's in side rishus harabim, which she can be kona there, then it's good. So how can the Rambam here say, by an Almanas case, that her children are mamzerim? Let her get divorced from this guy, marry Levi or Plomi, and Shalom on Yisrael. She's not going to be able to marry. That's the writer's question. She's not going to be able to, even if Plomi divorces her, dies, she's not going to be able to go back and marry Shimon, because it's mamzerim b'shaso, but you spare the children from mamzerim. So the hechad tesis that the father is a mamzer, and that the get is batel, and he says the get batel means it's batel with the raisa. Like that's from eno get, and get batel are lashonas to raisa. Right? So the Rambam lays that out in the first paragraph of the Hilchos Gerushin. That's his nomenclature. A get posel is with the rabbanu. Eno get, a get batel is batel with the raisa. That's the conceptual problem. What's the other problem with the Rambam? Not a trick question. If you're in Bashir, it should be your instinct. Right? What? That's a lame question. Worse than that, if I'm. It's against the Gemara. It sounds like it's against the Gemara's Lashon. That's what the Rashba points out. I mean, it's kind of obvious. From the Gemara, it sounds like it's a chashash. We make her get divorced because we're afraid that she won't fulfill the Tanai. Not because the get is batel. Let's reread the Gemara. Just.
The Gemara,
That's a funny formulation,
yeah. An issue with this idea of this kiddush of Shema being in Achreya. Because we tried to do kiddush. It was at a time when she was not available. And that should be the end of that.
No, she was available. When she fulfills the time later, it turns out she was available. Because when is the Nesinus and Halos Haget? Once the Tanai is fulfilled later. Before the Kiddush of Shiva. You never thought of Tosos would be so much fun. The Rambam had to come in, one of Tosos. Tosos be the only one with it. Kiddush you had. Okay, so let me read the Gemara for us, please. Starting with Ella Amar of Nachman. I should have given you earlier, but Ella Amar of Nachman. 8 lines now.
El Amar of Nachman. Talking to Amar. Hare ze lo tnase lo. Shama yom ru nishem nefnin batana. Ben yizit lo lo gizit. Yishom gizera lo makkina.
The truth is what Rav Nachman said is totally unobjectionable, but Rava insisted upon making a deal from it, which I don't know why he felt compelled, Moshe.
Just a quick textual point.
Mm-hmm.
Does it make a difference that first iteration of Rambam
was in
Nishay
Hen,
and the second
was in Nishay
Hen,
and then? No. That's just it. Those are all scribal oddities, that's all. Mem and Nun at the. I mean, yes, normally. The truth is, I think also it's an Aramaic feature versus a. There's another example that I'm trying to figure out in biblical Hebrew. But I'm trying to remember what the word is that really bothers me. Like, why is it sometimes one way and sometimes the other? That slips my mind what it is. It's somewhere in Brachos. L'mishpachosam and l'mishpachosehem. What's the difference between those two? L'mishpachosam is l'mishpachos shalahem. L'mishpachosehem is l'mishpachos shalahem. I don't know what the difference is. Why one rather? I have no idea. Maybe the answer is obvious. You don't have to answer the question. But anyway, hem and hen normally should matter. Biblical Hebrew, but in rabbinic Hebrew already, I think they have blurred. Probably under the influence of Aramaic. Because in Aramaic, I think the differentiation, I could be wrong, between masculine and feminine is not the mem or the nun, it's the vowel. In other words, Nishehon is masculine. That word obviously can't exist in feminine in Aramaic because same-sex marriage wasn't really invented until whenever. But it would be something like Nishehin or something like that. I believe is the suffix for the feminine plural. So that's why I think, even though it's in Hebrew here, I think it's crept the back in. Yeah. And where do you see the show to him?
Later on the Gemara, it said, El Arova, Arzo,
Lo,
yeah.
I know, the show to him makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense because Nashim is the plural. So the way Nashim is a masculine plural for what is clearly a feminine word, but the way you know, Malachim is Malchehem, Nashim is Nishehem.
Right.
So you can blame the scribes for that, but no, nothing. So thank you for reading very carefully, but it doesn't matter in this case. Okay. So.
Amar le Rabba, Allah. Who the Lord did not say?
No, Lo, the Lord did not say.
Lo, who the Lord did not say?
So he's reading into Rav Nachman something that it's hard to believe Rav Nachman really meant, but that she shouldn't marry him because of this chashash that people will say, but she could marry someone else. I would say Rav Nachman didn't address that because it's obvious, of course she shouldn't marry somebody else. She's got to marry this guy first in order for the gift to be halal at all. He's basically saying, let's ignore this gift and not have her remarry and make, you know, if he's going to give a get, let him give a proper. We'll get without this crazy tonight. So Rabba says, okay. So you have to be Mekayim tonight. She's got to marry Levi. In order to marry anybody else, first she has to marry Levi. So then Rabba says, okay, so the truth is probably the better reading is Efshar Denigarsha Hayom Uminsim Alamacha. Maybe she'll get divorced from Shimon. Look, they married each other, they like each other, they want to have a good time. Okay, you know, and this number of years later, okay, look, we've had a good time, but we can, this good times don't last forever. And in this case, especially because we'll have been, you know, violating Losinov if you don't get married to a lady, so you better go ahead and do that. So that's what they do, so you know, they'll enjoy a few good years together. You know, maybe they argue living in sin is always more fun. The question is that true? If Mulamachrei turns out more living in sin, I don't know. And so they'll go and she'll go and remarry. So Rabbi says, is that what you're thinking? He says that's crazy because
we'll have to please now that had Rabbi Yehuda.
I actually believe, even though the Gemara explains the particular way, I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but I think that's this underlying psychological difference between Rav Nachman and Yehuda. Did we read this Gemara when we did the Sugya first, or we didn't get this far? What? It's your job to remember. How much that you learn?
I had punctuated my Gemara.
What's that?
I had punctuated the Gemara already. So
you
did the Seder or
Shira. Okay, so Seder, I'm sure I gave it to you. So I just see that the difference is, you know, if you have dessert to eat and the main to eat in front of you, you got to eat both. And you understand that you can't leave without it, you know, having just eaten the dessert. It won't go over well with whomever it is. Which do you eat first? That's basically what this machlokus is. They do experiment. I mean, this is not the same thing as the children they put in a room. I think this is child abuse. And they give them one Oreo and say, if you wait 15 minutes, you can have two Oreos. But if you go, yeah, you just get one. But I want to know, what do you do first? So, the Rabbi Yehuda here, this is the way I work. When I make myself breakfast, or I make myself whatever meal I make myself, I clean up all the dishes, you know, that I used to prepare before I sit down to eat. And some people like to sit down to eat, and they clean up all the dishes. It's a different style, personality. Change your smiling. Okay, so we'll take this opportunity for 21 seconds of muster, which is when you do stuff, clean up the dishes. And even if your parents happen to make less of the air, you can say, can I clean up the dishes for you? Make sure they're ready for the dishes to be taken. You don't want to be like what we call a Ratner's waiter, a reference that we have cultural reference that's probably lost on all of you. You know, I never attended went to Ratner's, but I know of Ratner's. You know, it's like that story in the forest, the Rebbe, you know. That was Lower East Side, the famous dairy restaurant. I don't know if it was always on the proper Hashbacha, but anyway, a Ratner's waiter is taking over your plate before you finish the food. That's the metaphor. So, you probably don't know what Schmucks was either, do you? Oh man, I am so old. Schmolka Bernstein's was a deli on the Lower East Side. The cultural loss. Okay, so we're not going to have a machlokas, but Judah says don't sleep today because then that tonight is going to trigger the. I'm sorry, don't sleep today because that's the isser you've taken upon yourself if you sleep tomorrow. And after you sleep today, but Judah's afraid that it's with the tanai, you're going to take it lightly and you go to sleep. And Rav Nachman says, no, If you feel like sleeping today, which is a violation of the neder, subject to tomorrow's time, you'll just keep yourself up tomorrow. You'll sit on the ice picks in order to make sure you don't fall asleep or something like that. You'll be sitting at the desk, and every time your head's about to slump over and hit it, it'll hit sharp things, ouch, and you'll wake up again. That's basically what he's describing. So Rava says, if that's what you think, you're on Nachman, you're holding Lashi Pascha, that it's okay to do stuff now, because you can take care of it tonight later, right? You can sleep today, so that and you'll worry about the tonight tomorrow. That's nice, but that case, shall we go ahead? So the question was, Hacha Vidida Kaima the Igurushe? Is it our power to get divorced? There, you can decide whether you're going to sleep tomorrow. You have control over that, to a great extent. But a woman doesn't have control whether she's going to get divorced, because the assumption behind the question is, why does a woman not have control over her getting divorced? What's the assumption? Not a trick, Jay. No. What is that assumption? She doesn't have to. It's not the yada l'igrushin, it's the hiskarish. What? What? Yeah, because that's the best thing to get. It's totally only Bertsono, not at all Bertsono. Neither she wants it nor she doesn't want it. So it makes sense. That's what was bothering the second part of Tosfos, which is, hey, a woman is entitled to force a get. Moisalai. What? Oh, you're saying the lady has to agree to marry her.
Yeah.
Well, that's the Rashba's parents. Tosfos doesn't like that parents. Right? Because then the Gemara should have said, the inami, imigarsha is at the yadal in suved, and that certainly is not the case. And there's only one circumstance in halacha that we force a person to marry a woman. I cannot think of another one. Okay, onis, yeah, and onis shagirish, or before he was the guy, before he married her. It's the only case where a man is forced to perform an act of kiddushin. But that's what Rava says. So what is implicit in the Gemara? Pretty much explicit. So Rava goes on to say what I would have argued on Nachman meant, that she's not allowed to marry the same guy either, it's even worse. And you say Tate. So read to the end first, did you hear me?
Hello, Amar Rava. Hari zu lotnate lo velo lach lo lotnate shami amur nishisem natinu ata va'acha lotnate zibayakim yatana v'nishisem lo tete mishum gizera lo makina va'acha tete zibayakim yatana.
Okay, so you don't need the Tanya Kavase. There's only one odd thing about the Tanya Kavase, which is the odd thing about every Tanya Kavase. Every so often I point this out. It's the problem of a Tanya Kavase or a Tanya Nami Hachi. What's the problem? Not really a problem, shouldn't it?
Why didn't they quote it in the first place?
Why did Rabbi just quote the Brisa? The answer is Rabbi didn't know this Brisa. The Amoraim expected to know all the Mishnayos. They don't necessarily know all the Brisas.
Basically, he happened to say verbatim the Brisa.
What is some kind of choker? Yes, there are brises. There are brises. One has to imagine. I can show you wilder ones. If you look at the Chamisha Tam and the Chamisha Mu'adim Brisa, as Ravina explained the Mishnah, I think it was Ravina at the end of the first Parak of Baba Kama, and then you look at the Tanya Nami Hachi, and you look at that and you say, no way. Now, there are two possibilities, of course. One is that the Amora may have been aware of the Brisa, may have influenced him even for whatever reason he didn't quote it. The other possibility is that he had the same idea as the Brisa, and one of the two's language has been slightly, it got leveled over to match the other. And there's a third possibility, which is that the Tanya Nameach and Tanya Kavase is just a supposition that maybe at some point rabbis interpret that the Tani Tavase or Tani Nami Hachi is not necessarily from that generation, that's from Masada HaSugya. And so, it might very well be that Rava's Maimar flowed around the Beis Medrash, and at some point somebody said, just started quoting this before a Brisa, and then the leader in Masada put it in because they're hearing it as a Brisa as well. Okay, Daniel?
Is there a fourth option? Maybe this is like a little too outlandish, but like the third option you just gave is like the person who's having the Sadia really thinks that it's a Brisa, which is that maybe it was a Brisa that was based on the fact that people thought there was some of the Brisa. Is there a fourth option that the people that had the Brisa had more of a hand and like knew there wasn't necessarily a Brisa, but it was a Brisa anyway, or not?
I don't think that they need to do that. You're suggesting in the sense of sometimes, where we find this rare tradition, the idea of attributing something to somebody who didn't say it because people will listen that way. You have such an idea. It's very far into the way we think today, but it's something that does exist as a Gemara. Irvin, one of the two Amorayim, told the other one something, and shame so-and-so who never said it, because he knew he'd only listen if he told him so. He believed it was true. Right? He believed it was true, but he attributed so-and-so because otherwise his chaver wouldn't listen. You have some understand that's the meaning of a statement when Rabbi Akiva told, when he was in prison, I think was one of the things he told Rabbi Shimon, in Bikashta lechanek lechi tale be'ilon gadol. If you want, literally, if you want to get choked, go hang yourself on a very high tree at least. So some understand is that if you want something to be listened, again, it's totally foreign to the way we work. We think that's kind of not plagiarism, but it's the opposite. Normally yeshiva college students get in trouble because they write something and they don't attribute the source to it. It's probably very rare that they write something attributed to a source that doesn't exist. That's probably not so common. Shimon.
Have you seen the posters that say, don't trust everything you read on the internet just because it has a quote with a face next to it, Abraham Lincoln?
Okay. Anyway. I don't see it as necessary. The Gemara could have just said the Hilchos HaKarava, if that were the concern. But even without that, the sequence in which it's presented is that it's not when it's rejected. If that's, in other words, if the Gemara said nothing, we would have said, of course, your whole life. You're almost certainly whole life, Rabbi. Okay. Well, where's Rabbi Yehuda? There's no Rabbi Yehuda here.
Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that you can go ahead and you can.
What would Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that Nachman is the one who says you're allowed to do machatzina. When Rabbi is challenging Nachman and saying, "Oh, are you the shitascha? Since you say you can do that machatzina there, you can do machatzina here. How can you compare it? There you can say you can do machatzina because you have the capacity to keep yourself awake the following day." Here she has no capacity to get herself divorced, and even if she did, as Jake said, she has no capacity to get herself married today, as the Rosh Bo says. It's what she says, but doesn't like it. Shot in the Gemara.
So,
with
Hakhila, we think that you can't ever go into this paradox because you shouldn't be married to
Shimon in the first place. But forget Hakhila. It's only a paradox if she goes from Shimon to Levi without getting a gift from Shimon. If she gets a gift from Shimon, there's no paradise problem. If she gets married to Levi, we would think that, okay, so now when Afreya turns out her kiddushin to Shimon kiddushin, she got a gift from Shimon, that's fine. Now she's married to Levi. Whatever happens, and if Levi dies, divorces her, she can't go back and marry Shimon because it's not Sigur Shasa. But the problem is only based upon Tosis's suggestion that she could do this without getting a gift, right? Tosis is saying, why does she need a gift from Shimon? Just go marry Levi, because as long as she doesn't marry Levi, the time wasn't fulfilled, and can you shish them in our home? So I suggest that there's a problem, and I think the Mashah is bothered by this, but nobody else seems to explicitly take this on, and that's the important question, why? Is that it generates a paradox. So obviously Tosis doesn't think so, but in the meantime, so the real, what's the problem with the Rambam is that it sounds like Rava said to Rav Nachman, I don't care what the Gersh is, umekaima letana'a, and then he invokes the machlokas by nedarim to say, oh, so that you're holding that, as long as you might fulfill the time later, it's okay now. So Rava, why does Rava reject the comparison from Rav Nachman, from the Darim to Rav Nachman here? Rav says, why?
Not because when you do the thing, you're not in your parents' mind, but rather because you're not sure that you're going to be able to do it.
Correct. In other words, it sounds like it's legitimate fundamentally that you're married, Shimon is not a problem. The problem is, it's playing dangerous, it's living dangerously. Because unlike by Nedarim, where he has full control over it, whether to sleep the following day, so it's fine to violate the Neder, and we're not worried about tomorrow triggering the Tanai. But here, she has no control, even under the best of circumstances, as you said, Jake, by the lady who will marry her, and she has no control even to be in the position of lady marry her, she has to get divorced from Shimon first, says the Gemara. So Tosis is asking on that question, why does she have to get divorced from Shimon first? She could just go marry Levi. But the Rambam seemed, forgetting about what the Svara is, for the Rambam, why is it that she is, why is it that it's that the children are Mamzerim? Right, the Rambam says the children are unconditionally Mamzerim. He doesn't say that she never marries Levi. He doesn't say that if she gets divorced from Shimon, or Shimon dies, and she's about to enter the chuppah with Levi, her long-lost love that Reuven designated for her. And then, the chuppah collapses after Levi had marched down on Levi, and Levi dies, and she never gets to marry him. Right? And now it turns out, her children are Mamzerim. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, the children are Mamzerim. The get is batel. Once she marries Shimon, the get is batel, the children are Mamzerim, takes a from him, and she needs a get, meet the herself from him. I mean, he doesn't say that, but that's what it is. She needs a get from Shimon, but really, Medina, she doesn't. How does that fit with the Gemara? Then isn't it clear from Rava's question against Rav Nachman that the only reason why he objects to Rav Nachman, what he attributes to Rav Nachman's approach, is because it's living far too dangerously. Even you, Rav Nachman, who says that when you take a neder not to sleep, that you won't sleep today. That's a bad formulation. You prohibit your eyes in Shana today. Because a neder is on the heft of the gabra. When you take a neder that binds you from sleeping today on the condition that you sleep tomorrow. So it's one thing to say it's mutter to sleep today, even though that potentially could be a violation of a neder, depending on what you do the next day, because you could choose not to sleep the next day. But she has no choice in this matter, so how can you be so reckless as well? That doesn't sound like that the get is bought down by Amon Taylor. So there's a textual problem for the Rambam, which if I'm, as I say, what's the Rambam source? But it's worse. It's not just what's the source. It seems to be against the Gemara. And secondly, what's the Svara? Why is it different than every other time? Where the Rambam says the Beirush, even though the Tanai hasn't been fulfilled yet, as long as she can still fulfill the Tanai, she doesn't have to get divorced. In those cases, obviously that's a Mamon case, so she can give it to her to those. Good question, though. What's the answer? What? The Rambam is against the Gemara. No tricks there. That's the Sara question, but there's also a textual question. Yes. No? Nobody has anything to say. Trey?
In order to fulfill the time, she has to.
Yes.
It's different than everything else. Never found they don't have to.
Well, that's what the Rashba says. He says he doesn't think in other cases we may get divorced. Maybe in the Rabbanim we shouldn't sleep together while till she fulfills the Torah. Okay, but therefore what? He's speaking Chachmas. Well, I've told you, given you another hint also. I think this explains why Tosis is not dealing with the Kiddush HaChodesh question. He's not dealing with the paradox. Let's read Tosis. This is so good. I get to torture you. If we read Tosis, set up more questions. You're not going to sleep until Monday until you want. You're going to be so So if we won't be in the Beis Medrash tomorrow and Shabbos, we'll be gathering together because we're so perturbed by this. Right, what's going on?
At least
we'll
be together.
What's that?
At least
we'll good. That goes up with your print, along with your Princess Bride light from last year. I don't remember what I don't know what the question was, but I know what your answer was. Okay. The answer was mostly dead. Okay. So let's, if I take track of Hosea for a second for us. Ha ha bidi day, time of Lagushe, just the first half.
Do I have guidance as to whether or not to accept changes?
Don't amend.
Okay. Ha ha bidi day, time of Lagushe. 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 Ha ha bidi day, time of Lagushe.
Right, so far, what's the question?
Because as granted that she had fusion to this Acher, she now is unable to get married to the pony. Thus, she's an issue to elaborate the Acher.
So okay, so
you
say yeah, you say this. This is easy, because this point is clear.
Yeah, okay. Even though she can't even kind of deny it,
by
getting married to Levi, because she's married to Shimon, well, then she's the male and she's issue about Shimon.
Okay. Firstly, what is a little confusing is you have to be careful with the word Chayvon here. Tosfos says, Afalgad, even though the following is true, even though she's not married to Shimon. This is just a side point, it can throw you off. Afalgad Bechayvon. Had Tosfos said, Afalgad De'ene Yechol Lekayim Tanah, that would be something totally different. But it's a mouthful. It's a short. In short, Tosa says, even though she's an Ashes Ish with respect to Shimon, and therefore what?
She can't.
And therefore,
she shouldn't need a get.
It's not by Lagusha. She doesn't need it. Nikomakom.
Nikomakom, even though you follow the kind of Tanah, when you not say the obligation, it's a baby. The old Zulik, if you speak of Shema in this kind of Tanah, it's in also a Yidamashemi. I believe it's a Sarishon. Oh, you guys.
Oh, God. Now, we got problems. Shemi, Rishon, and so on. So everything made sense up until everything was clear. Sure makes sense. Everything was clear until this last line. She still, Tosha says, even though she's not really married to Shimon. Why is she not married to Shimon? Because she can't fulfill her Tanai. Nonetheless, she cannot go ahead and fulfill the Tanai without Gerushin. Because she needs a get Misega. Shema is kind to know. What does that mean?
It's not the other to make sure that Shimon gives her a get, but could die and thus.
What? So who's Rishon? Who's Shani here?
Rishon is Shimon, Shani is Levi.
Does that make sense?
I think so. Well, the Kimas and I think the Shani must be she's getting married to Levi. So the person before Levi is Shimon, that is Rishon.
So the chain you think is?
Wait.
So what's the answer?
She's not definitely. Not definite that she's going to end up being an ish. Like I mean, you know, since it's possible that she will get a gift from him, in which case she's able to eventually get married to Levi. So you can't be Machriach the fact that she's not married to Shimon. So. You sub it since you don't know what the control holds, you have to get it. The paradox only holds in the case where she never gets again from.
Correct. But that's what you think he means?
Yeah. That's what I thought too.
Shema is kayim to know.
Can someone explain this more?
Well, if I explain it, because I don't think, I'm not sure that it's
clear. Can you read it inside again, or it's very much of it?
We'll read it inside. I hear the words.
And then also do it outside.
Okay. You can't rely on this paradox and say, oh, you see that she never needs a get from Shimon.
Why does it rely on the paradox?
Don't rely on her.
Okay, fine.
It's just relying upon the fact that she's not married to Shimon because the Tanai wasn't fulfilled.
Yeah, my terminology is that there. Okay.
The Tanai wasn't fulfilled. Because she can't fulfill the Tanai as long as she's married to Shimon, therefore she can't be married to Shimon. Because the get won't be again if she's married to Shimon. Okay. So she says she still needs a get. There's just one line you have to explain. Shema.
Shema is fans not. She might end up being married to him. How so? Since she can be retired tonight and have me sue in addition to the shiri, how would that
need to use the translation?
So wait.
So Fryan, before you go on, I'll tell you what I'm bothered by, and maybe the language isn't precise. Shema tikai iskayim tina'a. He doesn't say al yadei.
Well, then al yadei comes later.
No. He says, Shema iskayim tina'a. Vitinose gam lesheni. Al yadei. I mean, she is kayim tana'a, that the tzayim will be fulfilled, and then she'll be able to get married to the sheni. I don't know. It doesn't matter right now. I just want to read what the word said. When I read that line, Shema Yiskayim Tana'a, is not being Nisayis Lashani. It's Shema Yiskayim Tana'a, Vitinase Gam Lashani. All you they miss is original Yigarsha.
It sounds like when the Tanai is fulfilled, she will be able to be married to the Shane.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like to me. I don't understand what that means.
That's a separate question.
Yeah. That's fine. Can you say one more time? I know that I'm agreeing right here, but I didn't really understand what you were saying. So you got to finish it. It's like, it doesn't cut.
Now we piled on him.
I think I have any veterans or feel we have the same one already. We're currently assuming that she's either going to be married to Shimon or to Levi, one or the other. And since she needs to get married to Levi, it must be that she's not married to Shimon, and she doesn't again. Now, as it says, we have a subject not necessarily true. It could be, Shimon is married to Shimon, he must have family. It's possible to have a Kima Tanai where she's married to also the Shimon, not exclusively one or the other. That would be either Yisus HaRishon or Yigar HaShem. And if there's a sort of natural end to the marriage of Shimon, it's possible to have Kiddushin to both of them be Kima Tanai.
Then why do you want that?
Does that make sense?
I'm not sure I'm interested. Why do you want your being interested like that, but why are you interested in having your being married to both baby and too much Shimon?
Well, that explains, if it's possible that both marriages are valid, people need to be to get from Shimon in order to.
And again, the reason why. So now do it out, you can explain that.
Yeah. So I just want to know, if you want to start that you need to get from Shimon, so it's just sort of that you should never need to get from Shimon since she's never married to Shimon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so she says, no, sometimes she is married to Shimon. What case is she married to Shimon? In the case where she actually does get married to Shimon, Mela, she's not forced to not be married to Shimon.
Wait, that's just what you're saying, it's circular. She needs to get from Shimon because of the case.
Well, so may I ask you to marry the fact that there's no stopper? Right now, she's currently not, she's not going to rush from Shimon. Who is going to rush from Shimon?
So, she'll be going to rush from Shimon if you say that she has to be going to rush from Shimon.
So let's say that
I'm with him.
Let's say that's the worst. Fine, I'm with you. She's going to rush. She will be, there's a case where she will be going to rush from Shimon if you make her get that from Shimon. But why is that true? Why?
Well, let me go back for a second to people who. Let's say that she does bear Nisuin to the Shimon. Now, she has to leave. Now, the rabbis come her and say, this didn't work. So she said, okay, now she go get married to Laban.
Got it.
Now, the next day, Shem comes right over and says, I heard what happened, here's a gift.
Okay.
And now the rabbi starts left scratching their beak. Because, look, we said that she has to leave Shimon because she couldn't have gotten married to Laban because of the issue with Shimon.
And now if she gets married to Laban, she's the Kodesh to Laban. What good at this point does Shimon get to?
Well, I mean, now that our assumption
you can't give a get to someone who is not married. He can die. Dying is something you can do no matter what.
The reason why there's no Kiddushin Chal between her and Shimon is because the Kiddushin necessarily prevented the marriage to Levi. And if marriage to Levi was necessarily prevented, then definition did not exist. And therefore, there was no
Kiddushin. Wait, why would her marriage to Shimon definitionally prevent her marriage to Levi?
Well, because if she's married to Shimon, she can't get married to Levi. She needs to get married to Shimon.
There's a lot of this in Abbott and Costello. We can have to explain to Abbott and Costello what. Like, who's on first? What's on second?
Okay. Her fake marriage to Shimon didn't do anything. Because it was fake. I don't understand. But the point is that only if
if Levi didn't give a get or drop, if Shimon didn't give a get or drop dead, her kiddushin to Levi apparently overrides Shimon's kiddushin. It's only an issue, right? The only way Shimon will be married to her, it would seem, is if Shimon married her and divorced her or dropped dead and then she marries Levi. Then you can say that once Levi is Mekadesh her, it turns out the time is fulfilled, and Shimon's kiddushin weren't ma'akid Levi's from being chal, right? Because Shimon divorced her or died. There's the favor. So now, Levi's kiddushin can be Shimon's kiddushin are no longer ma'akid Levi's kiddushin. So then we can say retroactively she was married and divorced or married and widowed from Shimon. That as long as the kasha remains in place, as long as Shimon hasn't done that, hasn't been so kind enough to drop dead for us or to give our dead. Since his kiddushin prevent ladies from being chal right now, his kiddushin aren't kiddushin.
I'm still struggling to understand why. Why the question of whether Shimon's kiddushin are chal or not is dependent on whether they prevent ladies' kiddushin or not.
Well, we have just stated here that you're kind of answering both explaining the Havamim of Tosis and the Rambam. So I'm not leaving you in suspense.
What?
No idea what's going on.
I'm going to just give you one remnant, and I'm going to leave this for now, which is that apparently, at least for the Rambam, and Tosis also seems, I believe the Mas, certainly the Rashba, I think, I'm not sure Tosis and the Rashba really disagree, I have to work through this again. But I think it's clear in the Rashba that there's something different about, normally a Tanai, no matter what you say about the Tanai being Makrivim L'Afreya, a regular Tanai, you can fulfill the Tanai after the woman gets married, meaning she's not supposed to get married because she fulfills the Tanai, you can deal with all that. But at the end of the day, the Tanai doesn't prevent Kiddushin from being chal. But a Tanai that she has to get married to so-and-so, does. It does, actually. For the Rambam, it does straight out. So even for Tosis, you think that Tosis is kasha. Why is it that Kiddushin Shimon can't be chal? At least, that's certainly the question of Tosis. Kiddushin Shimon can't be chal, meaning she doesn't require a gift from Shimon, because since Kiddushin Shimon would be ma'ake Kiddushin ladies from being chal if they were extant, they'd be ma'ake definitionally the Kiyum HaTanai, it's not valid. And the Rambam, I think, thinks the same thing also. The Rambam thinks that any Kiddushin that happens, here's a really good question for the Rambam. I'll ask this question. I'm not going to say further than this. What happens if the woman doesn't marry him, this guy, but she just goes on with him and has a child? Is that child belongs in? The Rambam says, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. If Shimon marries her, the Rambam says, instead of marrying Levi, instead of Levi marry her, the Rambam says the children are not there. So I'm going to ask you to follow, right? I'm going to ask you the following question. What if she was Mezana with Shimon? And get married? You have to think about that question. Ponder these things as you're sitting Friday night at the Shabbos table. And everybody else is engaged in idle gossip. You will be staring off in the distance and thinking about the Ramah.